Good morning. We will continue to learn from the book of Daniel. We will look at chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. If you have a Bible, please open your Bible. Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for a thousand of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. We've been looking at the period of King Nebuchadnezzar, but the time is changing in the story we are reading today. So the period from Nebuchadnezzar has changed from the king of Nebuchadnezzar to the king of Belshazzar. So what kind of period is this, the new period? It's a period under the influence of alcohol. This is a period that was depraved and corrupt. They wanted to engage in lustful sexual desires under the influence of alcohol. The powerful were showing power, boasting power, and making a false show of power under the influence of alcohol. And they were worshipping idols under the influence of alcohol. In a sense, the period that we live in is a little bit similar to the period I'm describing, based on Daniel chapter 5. Some people become violent under the influence of alcohol. Some people kill other people under the influence of alcohol. People hurt their family members under the influence of alcohol. People complain and they try to escape from reality and feel a sense of emptiness under the influence of alcohol. People try to hide their weaknesses under the influence of alcohol. Under the influence of alcohol, adults sometimes encourage their children to drink alcohol. Even God-believing people, instead of praying together, engage in wild drinking parties. Many crimes and accidents take place under the influence of alcohol. Many people do not know what to do to take their minds off their worries. So they drink alcohol. And similar things are happening in the initial period in the biblical times. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Who was this written to? Paul wrote this letter to Christians in Ephesus. So even within the Ephesian church, there was a problem of alcohol. So this passage that I just read is often is a passage that the pastors actually tend to avoid. And it's actually difficult for me to talk about as well. But this passage does not sometimes used as by Christians to justify drinking alcohol by saying that it's okay as long as you get drunk. But Paul did not write this to encourage you to drink alcohol as long as you control it. But he wrote, you know, use the word debauchery. If you read the Bible in English, you know, it says getting drunk will lead to debauchery. And debauchery means extreme indulgence in bodily pleasures and especially sexual pleasures. So engaging in immoral behavior. So Paul is saying drinking alcohol will lead to debauchery. And sometimes we ask the question, is it sin to drink alcohol? Isn't it okay as long as you drink alcohol, but if we control it? But Paul had a sense of crisis when he wrote that passage, because we often do not have power to control ourselves. Sometimes when we drink alcohol, our sins comes out more easily, and we sometimes commit sins because of that, under the influence of alcohol. If you look at King Belshazzar in chapter 5, in today's passage, he was committing sins under the influence of alcohol. Let's read that passage again. Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver and of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. So, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for thousands of his nobles. So he had an incredibly huge party. So he may have thought that the fact that he can have such a big party is shows that he has so much power. But they were engaged in sexual activities, and they were showing off gold and silver, and then they were worshipping idols, and they were drunk. As a result, they probably hurt other people, and they were blaspheming God. Was he having a huge banquet like that? Wild party. Let's look at the background of this banquet. And you can see the seriousness of the problems King Belshazzar was facing. This party was held in BC 539 in October. So BC 539 is the year, actually, the Babylonian Empire perished. So after this party, the Babylonian Empire perished. The prosperity of Babylonian Empire was led by King Nebuchadnezzar. So after King Nebuchadnezzar died, 23 years had passed at the time of this story. So after Nebuchadnezzar died, in BC 562, there are four kings during a seven-year period. The first was the Abel Maldok became the first king after Nebuchadnezzar, but he was not a great leader, and Abel Marduk's daughter's husband killed him. So that happened only 2 years after the death of Nebuchadnezzar. So the husband of Abel-Marduk's So after he was killed, Nergalissar became the president became the king for 4 years, and then after that, his son became the king, and that's his name is Labashi Marduk. And they named their last names as Marduk because the Marduk was the name of a local god. So they tried to make themselves a little gods by having that name after a king, after a local god. But Labash Marduk was also killed after a guy named Nabonidus. And Nabonidus is the became a king after that. So Nabonidus became a king of the Babylonian Empire. But Nabonidus is not blood related to King Nebuchadnezzar. So he was not very popular. So in order to become more popular, he married a daughter of King Nebuchadnezzar. So, and they had a child. That child is named Belshazzar. So the Belshazzar is the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar. So Belshazzar so Nabonidus wanted Belshazzar to become the king. But when Nabonidus was the king, the Babylonian Empire was already getting weaker because there were other countries or nations that was trying to attack the Babylonian Empire. And Nabonidus had to be engaged in fights with these countries for most of the period when he was the king. And then one of the main enemies were Media and Persia, and they formed a coalition, and they had to fight. Nabonidus had to fight Media and Persia, and they lost this battle, and Nabonidus had to escape to a desert in Arabia. So when Nabonidus was fighting, Belshazzar wasn't like the acting king because Nabonidus was fighting at battlefields. So that's why Belshazzar was acting like a king at that time. So the Babylonian Empire is having a little crisis. The Media and Persia coalition forces are coming to attack the Babylonian Empire. And they came to the castle town of the Babylonian Empire with 200,000 forces. So these Media-Persia coalition forces are surrounding the castle town of the Babylonian Empire. So Belshazzar needed to prepare for this coming attack. But instead of preparing for the coming attack, he was having a party in October of this year. And why was he having this party without getting prepared for the battle. because there was a myth that the Babylonia will never perish because this castle town was strong. Until this time, no nations were able to successfully attack the Babylonian castle town. And the Babylonian castle town had this diamond shape. And the circumference of this diamond was about 90 kilometers long. From here to Mito, it's about 40 kilometers long. So you can see how large this castle town was. And they had a 20-meter wide artificial river flowing around the castle town. They built this moat around the castle town, and they brought this water from Euphrates River. And also within the moat, they had also walls within the moat. They had two walls. One was the outer wall, which was 3.7 meters thick, and there was another inner wall that was 6.5 meters thick. And the inner wall was taller than the outer wall. And the inner wall was wide enough to let the chariots come through. So even if an enemy comes going beyond the outer wall, they should be able to attack the enemies from the inner wall. That's why the castle town was really easy protected. It's a very strong castle town. And also, they had interesting traps inside the castle town. They could open these water gates and bring the water from Euphrates. And they also had 20-meter high towers to attack invaders. That's why people believed this castle town can never be successfully attacked. So the Babylonian civilization, some people say, was greater than the Egyptian civilization because they had incredible rhetoric, geometry, and architectural skills. And the Babylonian castle town had food that will feed people for 20 years. So that's why it was considered extremely difficult to attack the Babylonian castle town. But eventually, the king Cyrus, the king of Media-Persia coalition, successfully attacked the Babylonian castle town and defeated them. So the Belshazzar was having this big party in right before this attack by the Media-Persian coalition forces. So they somehow believed it is okay. They thought the Babylonian Empire will never perish. Let's look again at Daniel chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. So Belshazzar and his nobles drank wine and tried to deny that they are actually getting weak. Under the influence of alcohol, they had this party, and they made a false show of power. Under the influence of alcohol, they engaged in orgies and justified it. Under the influence of alcohol, they tried to comfort themselves. And tried to present themselves as strong when they felt a sense of inferiority. And then they blasphemed God. If you look at chapter 5, verse 30, that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain. This is the end of what happened to Belshazzar. Belshazzar and Nabonidus both had a sense of inferiority because King Nebuchadnezzar was a great king of the Babylonian Empire. So Belshazzar and Nabonidus was not able to become like a king, Nebuchadnezzar. So they brought in this goblets or wine glasses, gold goblets, which King Nebuchadnezzar got from Jerusalem. The Nebuchadnezzar, the powerful King Nebuchadnezzar showed respect to the goblets, and because it was a tool that was used to worship real God, the God of Israel. So Nebuchadnezzar cherished the goblets, but now Belshazzar was using these goblets to drink wine. And then they made the idols of gold, silver, and bronze, iron, wood, and stone. So I think Belshazzar was trying to hide his inferiority complex, and then engaging such behavior. And of course, when we look at Belshazzar, we must realize that we are a little bit similar to him. We are all sinners, and when we are even in desperate situations, we don't acknowledge our problems, and we don't repent. And we have tendency like that as human beings. And this is idol worshiping under the influence of alcohol. Let me tell you a relationship between me and alcohol. I drank alcohol for the first time when I was only 3 years old. Apparently, my father made me drink beer. And apparently, as a child, a three-year-old liked it, and I started drink beer. And I learned to become drunk, apparently, when I was 3 years old. And it continued until I was 5 years years old. And then I quit. After that, the only time I drank alcohol was the time when my senpai at my university forced me to drink. So since I quit my drinking alcohol when I was 5 years old, I never took the initiative to drink wine. The reason is that some of my family members became alcoholics. They drank alcohol every day, and I hated it. Because they got drunk, they got angry, they had a fight, and my mother was crying. Even during the New Year days, when all the family members come together, they drank alcohol and they had big fights. So I hated alcohol. And I said to my mother, why are we like this? So I did not like my family being controlled by alcohol. And I don't think everything about alcohol is bad, but but I don't need alcohol. I did not need alcohol even before I became a Christian. And it's even so now because I'm a Christian. I don't need alcohol. I have Jesus. I have much better comfort that I can find in Jesus than the comfort the alcohol gives you. I don't have to drink alcohol to engage in communication with other people. I have devotion. I can engage in prayer and private worship. I like my devotion. I'll continue to pray to God. I have God. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, you can see that the background was, people drank wine at that time 2,000 years ago because water was not necessarily clean to drink. And sometimes just drinking water made some people sick. And Timothy was sick. And Paul said to Timothy, why don't you drink some wine? Because it's better for you. So Paul had a very flexible attitude on wine. But Timothy, when you think about it, refused to drink wine until he became unhealthy. You know, he wanted to refrain from drinking wine. Why did he do that? Because he had Jesus in him. He, instead of getting drunk, he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Today we have a communion. We drink we drink grape juice that represents the blood of Jesus. We eat bread that represents his body, and we drink grape juice that represents blood. You know, during the communion, you can make confessions. Instead of depending on alcohol, we can thank God for giving a way of salvation for us. Let us pray.